Look in the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verses 13 through 17. And they sent to him, that is Jesus, some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it." And they brought it, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "It's Caesar's." Jesus answered and said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Like some other instances that we find in the scripture, the point of the question, behind the question of the Pharisees, was not to find an answer, but to trap Jesus, to cause him difficulty, if they could, to discredit him, to get him in trouble with the authorities. They were concerned about his popularity with the masses. They regarded him as a threat to their position and power. When these came to him, they began with some high-sounding flattery. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you're true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth." By the flowery words, they tried to get him to let down his guard. And someone said, "The person patting you on the back may only be determining where to stick the knife." And this was sort of the way they were. So they asked this question, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" While they were not sincere in asking their question, the answer that Jesus gave speaks to all time and to all people. Jesus knew their hypocrisy. He knew they were testing him. He asked for a coin. And then he asked whose image and inscription was on it. And when they answered Caesar's, he responded, "Render then to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And I want us to look at this together. "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's," he said. It's been pointed out in a very real sense, we have no choice in this matter. Caesar, or the secular government, if you would, requires us to pay taxes, to contribute what is due, whether we like it or not. For instance, if the government decides to put a new highway right where your house is, and they're really earnest about it, in most cases you might as well start packing, for they have the power of eminent domain, and they can come in and give you what they think is just compensation for your place, and you're required to move. "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." If an international conflict arises and Congress institutes the draft to get people needed for the military, those of the right age might as well start packing. They have no choice about it. All of us are familiar with the fact that April the 15th comes each year, whether we're ready or not. This past week, I was reminded of it three times. I received a thing in the mail from the U.S. Treasury Department saying I made $130 interest on a bond this year. I have to report its income. I received a workbook from my accountant to fill out my tax information so he can calculate my taxes for me. And then this morning I went into the office, and there in my little box was a W-2 form from the church. It's all there. And most of us, without too much hesitancy, go ahead and pay our taxes. Some wait till the last minute. I always have difficulty understanding why people wait till April the 15th and line up and wait an hour in line at the post office to pay their taxes when they could have done it the day before without any problem. But anyway, some people get an extension on it, but most of us go ahead and do it. Pay on schedule. We may complain about our government. We may make bad jokes about it. We may protest some of its actions. But we do render unto Caesar what's required of us. But Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things of God's. For many people, rendering unto God what they should is their greatest spiritual problem. The reason we do not give to God what is His is a spiritual problem. God does not force anyone to give anything. We're not forced to give a tithe of our income. It's taught throughout the Scriptures. I believe we should tithe. And many say, yes, I believe I should, but... And then they go to making excuses why they can't or won't. Our giving, unlike paying taxes, is voluntary. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. It does not reflect our ability to give nearly as much as it reflects our spiritual health. Also, God does not draft anyone into His service. He gives us talents, skills, abilities, and calls us to His service, but the choice to respond or not respond is always ours. He never calls us to a task that He does not supply what we need to accomplish the task. Whether we respond to His call or not does not reflect as much on our ability as on our availability. Again, our spiritual health is revealed. Of course, we live in an immensely materialistic culture. It is rather hard, I understand, to make your payments on your Mercedes or your BMW or your Infiniti or whatever and pay for your Rolex and a condo at the beach and all the other things that you must have and still give your tithes to God. Read an interesting little thing this week, and I forget what even it was in, but it was talking about the Amish people up in the Midwest and said you would expect that they would be among the least hurt by the recession, but said they were suffering too. And one of their leaders said the reason for their suffering was they wanted bigger weddings and new buggies and a lot of other stuff they didn't need. You know, it doesn't matter who we are. Even at the times we have the best of intentions, something often gets in our way. We may be like the little boy of days past who was given 2 quarters. One he was to put in Sunday school and one he was to buy an ice cream cone with. This tells you how long ago that was. And he was going down the street and he was playing with those 2 quarters and he dropped one of them and it rolled and went into the storm drain and it was lost forever. And the little boy looked at the quarter he had left and he looked up into heaven and he said, well, God, I guess there goes your quarter. You know, his problem and ours is not that we do not want to give and also that we have something that we could give. There are just things that we want more many times than we want to give. There's something intrinsically seductive about money. If we do not have our priorities right, the more we have, the harder it is to give. You hear that? If we do not have our priorities right, the more we have, the harder it is to give. You've seen it on occasion in the paper and other places. The poorest people among us usually give a higher percentage of their income to the church and the charity than the richest people among us. If children who get a $2 a week allowance are taught to tithe and give 20 cents a week to the church, and they continue to tithe, then when they make $1,000 a week, they'll have no trouble giving $100 a week. But if they can't give 20 cents out of the $2, they'll surely not be able to give $100 out of the $1,000. I heard a story years ago, and I've never been courageous enough to try this, but this man came to his minister and he was concerned about his giving. He said, you know, I've always believed in tithing. Said I started tithing when I was making $50 a week. Gave $5 every week to the church. There's no problem. Said when I got to making $100 a week, I gave $10 a week to the church. Said no problem. Said when I got to making $1,000 a week, I gave $100 a week to the church. No problem. And he said, you know, I have really done well in the last year. And said, I'm making $10,000 a week now. Said, I just can't afford to give $1,000 a week to the church. The preacher said, well, I see your problem. Says, let's kneel down here and ask God to reduce your income so you can afford to tithe again. The more we have, the harder it is to give. Money is much like a drug. It can enslave a person. And surely the worship of money is probably the most practiced religion in our land. It is for many a profoundly and deadly spiritual problem. The more they have, the less they're able to give. The more they own, the greater the danger that their possessions will possess them. It comes down to this. Will we worship things or will we worship God? Will we seek first the kingdom of God and trust Him to supply all we need for life? Is Jesus truly Lord of our lives? When we answer that we will worship the Lord our God and Him only shall we serve, that we will trust Jesus not only to save our souls, but also to provide for our needs in the here and now, then the question of the use of our time and talent and treasure becomes easy. We have no trouble giving God the things that are His when we realize that all things come from Him and we only give what we have received. It was years ago, Dr. George Truett was preaching in a camp meeting out in West Texas. At the morning service, he preached on the text, "You're not your own, you're bought with a price." He was met after the service by a cattleman who had not long been a Christian. And the man said, "Dr. Truett, let's go for a walk. I have something to show you." And they walked up the canyon more than a mile away. And all along the pathway, the cattleman didn't have a word to say. His great chest rose and fell as if something, a seething furnace were beneath it, as indeed there was. Dr. Truett waited for the man to speak, and finally he said, "I want you to pray a dedicatory prayer for me." And Dr. Truett said, What do you want me to dedicate?" And slowly the cattleman began to talk, and tears began to stream down his cheeks, and he said, "I did not know until this morning that all of these cattle that I've called my own were not mine at all, but every one of them belongs to Christ. I did not know that these thousands of acres of land out there that are mine, that I call mine, are not really mine, but they belong to God. Please help me to pray a prayer to dedicate all that I have to Him. It is His. I will be His manager." So I ask tonight, will we do it? Will we dedicate all that we have to God? Will we recognize that it's His anyway? Will we pray to be a good manager of all that God has entrusted to us? That we will take it and care for it as good stewards of God. Quite frankly, I'm not really too concerned about your rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We don't have much choice in that. However, we do have a choice as to whether or not we'll give to God all that's due to God. And the question is, will we? I challenge you, I challenge my own soul to do this, to give everything to Him, to dedicate it all to Him, that we might truly experience life as God planned it for us. Lord Jesus, we know that everything that we have has come from You. We're not our own. We're bought with a price, even the precious blood of Jesus. Everything we have is a gift from You. May we dedicate ourselves and all that we have to You and seek Your guidance in being good managers of all that You've entrusted to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.